Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of HP Critical. It's a podcast where my friends and I talk all things gaming. I am Charlotte. I am joined by Christy.
Hi, everybody.
And Gabe.
Hello.
And Brandon.
What's up, people?
We're going to have a somewhat short podcast today. We got some things to talk about as far as news goes. But before we jump into news, I saw a tweet that I posed to all of you that had a question in it that I showed to all of you that I want to do a quick discussion on, which is all about Persona 3 Reload and DLC prices and the amount of money you'd have to pay to get everything you want. So I'm going to go ahead and read the tweet and ask for you guys' opinion on it. It is written by Scrambled Faz on X. And it says, Persona 3 Reload is a $70 game. It has $30 launch DLC and now has a $35 expansion pass. If you bought the $100 Digital Deluxe Edition or the $200 Aegis Edition, the expansion pass is not included. Thoughts on this? And so I pose that question to you guys. What are your thoughts on buying a $100 or $200 Collector's or Digital Deluxe Edition and the DLC or expansion pass not being included in that DLC, and the only way that you can get portions of the story are through that expansion pass that's not included in the $100 or $200 that you already paid for a remake that is $70?
Well, the actual subject matter notwithstanding, it's kind of nonsense that the answer DLC is separate DLC anyways, because this is a remake of Persona 3, which a previous version did have Fez with the answer. So yes, the fact that it's being sold as DLC is kind of scummy to begin with anyways. But yeah, barring the very specific example, just in general, to go to your general question, yeah, it's not great. It's not great. Like, for example, I will say this is a very ambitious remake as far as remakes go, but it's still a remake, you know. So as it, far as it being like full price, like that's kind of iffy as it is. As much as I'm enjoying Persona 3 Reload, or was before Rebirth came out, it still seems very expensive for this remake. And then having this DLC on top of it, and it definitely seems like they were planning on doing this, especially. No, in fact, we know that they're planning on doing this, because, which makes this whole story worse, is that I think they made an interview saying that they were going to make the answer as part of the full game, actually, but it wasn't ready in time, so they're selling it extra, which makes this whole damn thing worse, because if it wasn't ready for launch, and you just put it as, like, say, like a free download for later, whatever, cool. It wasn't ready, that people can get through the whole game, that takes enough time, and so on. By that point, they'd be ready for the free DLC anyway. But the fact that you didn't finish in time, I don't even believe that now. If you're charging for it, we could get this done. I was like, what if we wait a little longer and we could just charge it extra? So, yeah, I love you, Persona. But, yeah, Atlas do be doing some scummy things sometimes with their pricing deals.
Anyone else?
I mean, I agree. It's just should not be charging that much for a remake.
No, that's literally it. Christy, anything you want
to add? I just feel like what Brandon said, it should just be included in anything over $100. Honestly, you pay so much money already.
I have the Aegis edition, so I am one of those people that paid the
$200. Bruh! So, and you got to sell out for $35. They tried it.
So on our personal Slack chat, I put the Bugs Bunny and the Crown meme as I'm like, well, I guess I'll spend another $30. I did it somewhat ironically, because I'm like, well, I guess, well, I already spent this much money. I might as well just stay in, I guess.
I did not know you bought the Aegis edition. Wow.
Are we even able to buy the answer separately, or do we have to like purchase the
expansion You have to pass? Purchase it through the expansion pass. You cannot, as of now, buy it separately.
I don't care about the cosmetic DLC.
Yeah, it was, because it has like the Aegis like figure inside of it. You can keep talking while I get it out if you want to see it.
But Aegis is not Sephiroth. I completely understand.
No. I am okay with you spending $200 on that. Like, spend money on what makes you happy, because I spent $300 on 19 inches of Sephiroth, so like I can't talk shit about anybody.
But that makes it even worse, because like it's literally the Aegis edition.
And then you Aegis.
and then you don't get episode I guess with it. Yeah, this is like, it's kind of hard to see for, but if you're watching a video.
What else is
the figure's in there. So it's the figure itself. It comes
This is not an unboxing.
It comes with this art book, which obviously I haven't read because you don't read art books before you actually play the game because they do be spoiling stuff.
Excuse me, what? But I read the art book.
Yes, Chris.
And Christy doesn't care about spoilers. This is known. And then this is like the soundtrack DVD. Soundtrack CD, sorry. And then, of course, the game itself, and that's what you get.
Nice. That's very nice. Very nice. $200. Yeah. Not bad. They said you pay $200.
And, of course, that $30. That, so, as we joked about it, like, you don't get the $30 DLC that's coming out, but that $30 DLC that came bundled with the game, you do get that. So it does come bundled with that DLC as well, but not the I guess DLC, unfortunately.
Wait, the game has a DLC already?
Yeah, the you can get, like, the...
It's nothing.
It's a pack that lets you... Sorry. It's really nothing. It gets you the personas from like 4 and 5,
yeah,
and then you get like costumes based on all the characters.
And that's also why I didn't like the expansion pass. And this is another problem I had because I was like, this expansion pass is dumb because the first two parts of the expansion pass includes the DLC with like the music from other games and like outfits and stuff, and you have to literally wait until September to get the actual DLC content. So it's like y'all are literally charging me for accessories that I probably don't necessarily want to pay for, to and then I have to wait until September to get the full game. But you know, Atlas, I mentioned it in our chat as well. Atlas, you know, we talked about how they were charging people you have to buy the collector's edition to get New Game Plus in Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, which I thought was ridiculous. And then they do something like this, and then right before this, you know, they re-released Portable on like every console, I believe. Which allowed you to then play a version basically what I'm trying to say is they've been like double and triple dipping because they released Portable and now they released this one, and now they're like, but you also have to buy DLC for this, and it's just like kind of trashy. I don't like
Jero, I have a question because I actually literally don't know this. Do we know that Atlas is making the decision, or is this a Sega thing? Because you just brought up the example of Infinite Wealth.
I mean, that's Sega.
So yeah. Sega's this coming one. Okay.
Okay, well, I mean, yes, Sega's the scummy one, but, you know, so is Atlas and Square Enix and every other big company.
All these companies.
They're all pretty scummy.
Now how I'm picturing how that meeting went down is Atlas was like, darn it, we couldn't get episode Aegis at launch. They're telling Sega's bosses like, hey, I'm sorry, we couldn't get it at launch. We'll put it in later. It's like, hey, that's fine. Great, we'll charge for it. Atlas like, but, nah, that's fine. Take your time. Money.
And, you know, I can't talk shit because I'm playing it on Game Pass, so. Anyway, moving on to some actual news for the week. I went too far. Let's start with Mario Day, which, as of this recording, was yesterday, March 10th. There was a cute little video that was like 2-3 minutes long, maybe 5, I don't remember. And there were a couple of things that were mentioned in that video that include the Super Mario Bros. Movie, which is now in development. It is going to be coming on April 3rd, 2026. That is the target release date. Hopefully they're able to stick to it. It is, once again, being partnered with Illumination. They also showed that the release date for Paper Mario The Thousand Year Door is May 23rd, 2026. And Luigi's Mansion 2 HD is coming June 27th, 2024. And they also showed that now available currently as of the recording of this podcast were Dr. Mario, Mario Golf, and Mario Tennis all coming on Game Boy NSO. Or not coming, they are on Game Boy NSO. So that's for that. I have no words. Anybody want to say anything about that?
I'll keep it brief because I know we're kind of going fast. I guess the movie release date, you know, two years is obviously quite a bit, but I guess they just wanted to get that promotion out early. It seems really early, but anyway. Paper Mario, yay. I'm happy we finally got the release date. I already took that day off vacation, so very excited for that. Luigi's Mansion 2. I'm definitely looking forward to giving that game another chance because I didn't really jive with it originally on 3DS, but I do want to try it again. And as far as the Mario Game Boy games, Dr. Mario, I really don't see the point of them adding that to Game Boy because it's just the worst version of the NES version, which is also on NSO. So they could have chosen other ones, but whatever, it's coming, I guess. If you're nostalgic for the Game Boy version, I guess, I mean, I'll do it doesn't hold up, and I'll probably not say it holds up. But anyway, as for Mario Golf and Mario Tennis, They share the name with the N64 Mario Golf Mario Tennis, but they are very different games. So don't dismiss those if you look at those like, I already have that N64. Those are different games. They're sports RPGs where your goal is to actually get to Mario and defeat him in tennis and or golf. So if you like RPGs, you might actually enjoy those games. But that's all I got to say about those. Nice. It's a 3-minute direct that they put on a Sunday that excited me more than that partner showcase we had like 2 weeks ago. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I'm not a Mario fan, so I won't say anything about any of it. All right, well, we're moving on. Apparently nobody else has anything to say about it either. I do think that 2 years is a very long time to be announcing a movie.
Actually, I will say one more thing about that, because the way I see it, there was really no winning when it came to announcing this movie, because like, I feel like, given that the first movie did over $1 billion, obviously a sequel is going to happen. Like, it feels like you don't need to announce that a sequel is going to happen, since how obvious it is. At the same time, if you didn't, you'd have 100 people be badgering. It's like, hey, when are you making the sequel? Hey, when are you making the sequel? Even though it's obvious that they're going to make one. And now that they have announced it 2 years in advance, now people, of course, are like, why'd you announce it so early? We don't, like, I don't think there's any winning in the situation. Either way, it was, you know.
Yes, there is. Just announce it next year on Mario Day.
I think that's the problem. They didn't have anything to announce this year.
Thank you. I didn't want to say it, but it really feels like they didn't have much of anything to announce this year. So they were like, here's the movie. Like, here's these, I you think, know, NSO well, games they, that we well, just, kind of already have.
Well, I disagree. I think just throwing, I think just releasing the, putting out the release dates for those two games and then the NSO list would have been enough. Like, and the only reason I say it would have been enough is because Nintendo typically ignores Mario Day for the most part. Like let me finish, sir. When I say they ignored, I mean that they don't. They announce, hey, it's Mario Day. What kind of Mario games are you playing? They'll put a few games on sale. Last year, or maybe the year before, is when they did the Mario movie announcement. That's the most that they have acknowledged Mario Day, aside from doing maybe a tweet and some sales. So this, them doing essentially a mini direct, that's the most acknowledgement that Mario Day has gotten, or Nintendo has acknowledged Mario Day so far.
Are we looking at the same Nintendo account?
Yes, we are.
Yes. I don't think we are.
I think we are,
because
sir.
The past 3 Mario days has been nothing but here's a new line of shoes, here's some shirts, here's some cool things you can get on the eShop. Oh, look, here's another Mario game that no one fucking asked for. Mario Day for the past 3 years has been very heavy on Mario.
This is the equivalent.
No. Announcing games that we already know, announcing Game Boy games that no one's going to play for more than a week, and announcing a movie 2 years in advance is not the equivalent as to what they've done the past 3 years for Mario Day. This year, you could very well tell that they did not have a big announcement ready for Mario Day, so they're like, fuck it, we're working on Mario 2. You know it, we know it, here's the year it's coming in. For the next 2 years, you may tell us when's the next announcement.
Okay,
it's probably not coming until next Mario Day either.
All I gotta say is I agree with everything Gabe said, but I didn't want to be the person to say it because I'm not a Mario fan and I didn't want to seem like a hater, but I completely agree. It very much seemed like they had absolutely nothing to talk about, so they were like, oh yeah, we've got the movie in development and you'll see it in 2 years. Hope you live that long. God, that sounded really morbid.
Yeah.
But that was literally the first thing I thought was like, damn, I hope I'm alive in 2 years to watch this movie that's so far away. But it's because because Nintendo usually doesn't announce things that early, like in general. And sometimes, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but sometimes even with like these NSO announcements, they will literally just tweet them and be like, hey, these games are coming.
They do.
The same thing with release dates. Like if I remember correctly, they have done release dates where they literally just put the release date in a tweet and they're like, hey, the game's coming now. And then we're all like, oh shit, the game's coming now. If they don't mention it in a direct. So this was, to me, just like them looking for a bunch of shit to say because they didn't have nothing to say for Mario Day.
I mean, at least it was a tweet
and not a full direct that we all tuned in for, because
like,
then we'd all be
like
mad.
they mm-hmm. You know, they put the video on YouTube, but they also literally tweeted out the 3-minute video, and I was like, you know what, props Nintendo, props.
So, speaking of death and sad times, Dragon Ball series and manga creator Akira Toriyama unfortunately passed away at the age of 68. I can read this statement to you guys. It says, "Dear friends and partners, we are deeply saddened to inform you that manga creator Akira Toriyama passed away on March 1st due to acute subdural hematoma. He was in age of 68. It's our deep regret that he still had several works in the middle of creation with great enthusiasm. Also, he would have had many more things to achieve. However, he's left many manga titles and works of art to this world. Thanks to the support of so many people around the world, he has been able to continue his creative activities for over 45 years. We hope that Akira Toriyama's unique world of creation continues to be loved by everyone for a long time to come. We inform you the sad news with gratefulness for your kindness during his lifetime. Funeral services were held with his family and very few relatives. Following his wishes for tranquility, we respectfully inform that you would not, that we would not accept flowers, condolences, gifts, visitings, offerings, and others. Also, we ask you to refrain from conducting interviews with his family. Future plan for commemorative gathering is not decided. We will let you know what is confirmed. We deeply thank you for understanding and support as always. Bird Studio, Capsule Corporation, Tokyo." And this is you guys' moment to say anything you'd like to about Dragon Ball Z and Toriyama and what his legacy.
Well, his legacy cannot be overstated. Obviously, his most well-known thing is Dragon Ball, you know. And that, and even if that was the only thing that he had done with his life, that alone would be significant because Dragon Ball has touched pop culture in the world in a very significant way. Like, obviously not everyone watches it, but everyone at least has heard of it or knows of it, and it has influenced so much media around the world. Like, so many people will do spoofs, parodies, or homages to Dragon Ball in their line of work. Celebrities will talk about how much they love it. Some sports teams will sometimes do, you know, ascending poses when they're about to, like, enter a big match. Like, it's touched so many people. And I know for me personally, I got into Dragon Ball Z a lot later than I think a lot of people of my age bracket did. But I did eventually get into it, and it's become, you know, one of my favorite manga slash anime series that I have ever joined. I still read the new issues of Dragon Ball Super every month they come out. I've just always adored that series. The games, you know, hit or miss, but a lot of the recent ones have been very, very positive. And that's just Dragon Ball. That is just Dragon Ball. He's also well known as the artist of Dragon Quest, which is huge in Japan, as we all know at this point. He's responsible for doing the art for Chrono Trigger, which is one of the most beloved old school JRPGs out there. He's lent his artwork to like so many other series like Blue Dragon, like Sandland. Sandland is his manga after Dragon Ball. So he's had quite the career under his belt besides just Dragon Ball. But even Dragon Ball alone is a big deal. He's going to be missed. He's going to be missed. His influence cannot be overstated, and, you know, he'll always be remembered in the work that he's produced that will be out there forever.
And the Sandland game is coming.
It is coming. It is coming.
Anyone else? Nice seeing everyone. It was nice seeing everyone come together to celebrate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
I will say the one cool thing I saw was Xenoverse 2, you know, that game that's still getting support. I heard another podcaster saying that for the first time in like the 10 years that game has been out, they actually had trouble logging into Xenoverse 2. Mm-hmm. The reason being is like everybody was logging into Xenoverse 2. You can't voice chat in the game, so people were basically just, you know, spamming in messages, goodbye and thank you, goodbye and thank you. Yeah. And then doing the spirit bomb emoji. Essentially, just to kind of like, and they all did that in mass in Xenoverse 2. So it was I obviously didn't log on to Xenoverse 2 while this happened, but I definitely saw videos and clips of it, and it was very touching to see.
They also held a vigil for him in Final Fantasy 14.
That's beautiful.
So on to other news. I am very sad about his passing as well. He did so many great things for Black people. Black people love Dragon Ball Z.
They do. They adore Dragon Ball Z.
Thank you for agreeing with me, Brandon. So in other news, Yuzu has agreed to pay Nintendo $2,400,000. Whoa, can't read. In damages to settle the lawsuit against them. Further terms aren't available yet. This was a lawsuit that Nintendo had against Yuzu for what's it called? Emulation. God, that was a brain fart. And a lot of people were speculating that there was something big going on as for the reason why they settled it outside of, court. Therefore, they wouldn't have to go in court to avoid any legal proceedings against emulation, etc. That's just a piece of news. I don't have anything to say on it. If anyone does want to comment on it, here's your chance. Oh, I do have something to say on it. The only thing I was going to say is that the only reason this sucks is because game preservation is a thing that's really hard to come by. And without emulation, there are a lot of games, especially Nintendo games, that you literally just won't be able to access because Nintendo on Mario Day gave us 3 old games that nobody asked for instead of games that people are trying to emulate. That's all I have to say on that.
Damn. I will say that it was smart for Yuzu to settle.
Oh, yeah.
It seems that they were actually really smart about it and spoke with their attorneys, and their attorney was like, nope. If we go to trial, we're going to ruin emulation, so might as well just settle.
Yeah, because, question, if they go to trial about literally emulation, how does this end positively for them in any way? I think
there's a lot of speculation that in the dev logs that they used the illegally obtained ROM of Tears of the Kingdom prior to the release date, and so that would have pretty much put a nail in the coffin for emulation if they went to trial, and Nintendo would have found that out during discovery.
That's why I'm like, how does this end well for y'all if y'all don't settle outside of court? Like,
it doesn't.
You kinda don't have a choice.
It really doesn't.
Ay, ay, ay. What a wild ride. Toys for Bob. Sorry, I lost my place. Ah, yes, Toys for Bob is going indie. They sent a message on their blog that says, "We're going indie. We're thrilled to announce that Toys for Bob is spinning off as an independent game development studio. Over the years, we've inspired love, joy, and laughter from the inner child and all gamers. We pioneered new IP and hardware technologies in Skylanders. We've raised the bar for the best-in-class remasters in Spyro Reignited Trilogy. We've taken Crash Bandicoot to innovative, critically acclaimed new heights." Y'all aren't hyped for Spyro and Skylanders and Crash
Bandicoot? I was about to just ask where this energy's come from. I like it. I was just wondering where it came from.
I know. I was wondering, too. Where did this come from?
Well, with the same enthusiasm and passion, we believe that now is the time to take the studio and our future games to the next level. This opportunity allows us to return to our roots of being a small and nimble studio. To make this news even more exciting, we're exploring a possible partnership between our new studio and Microsoft. Dun, dun, dun. And while we're in the early days of developing our next new game, and a ways away from making any announcements, our team is excited to develop new stories, new characters, and new gameplay experiences! Our friends at Activision and Microsoft have been extremely supportive of our new direction, and we're confident that we will continue to work closely together as part of our future. So keep your horns on and your eyes out for more news. Thank you to our community of players for always supporting us through our journey. We can't wait to share updates on our new adventure, and as an indie studio, we will talk to you soon. That's the Toys for Bob blog. They're going indie. They're going to do their own thing. Don't know whether this is good or bad for them. I feel like going indie is always good until money and distribution comes around, and then it's not. But, they already talked about how they're having conversations with Microsoft and Activision, so hopefully it'll be fun. I believe they were owned by Activision at one point, and they didn't want to be, so this is great for them. It's really good news for them, and that's why I was so excited.
Yeah,
gotta bring the mood surface back. We were talking about that stuff.
On the surface of it, this definitely seems like a really good thing, of course, because, I'm happy for particularly fans of Spyro and Crash, because, to my knowledge, under the ownership of Activision, they were basically just relegated to a support studio for the new Call of Duty games to make sure that train kept pumping out. And they weren't really given the autonomy to make the games that they really wanted to make, which again was more Crash, Spyro, and possibly some other projects here and there. So them going indie, again, on the surface, seems like it'd free up the ability to do that again. But, being indie comes with its own challenges. Those games, they weren't cheap to make. So they would definitely require funding to make them continue the series at the quality that I guess fans would expect at this point. They could always make some smaller scale games there. I don't know how the fans would react to that. I haven't really played many Crush or Spyro games, but I guess they could try that at first and see.
Big-ass video game fan.
Yeah, no, sorry. I didn't get those series on PlayStation. I grew up with the Nintendo 64s. Yeah. Anyways.
And now you get to play the Mario game from 1984.
Which is 1984 Mario game?
I don't know when the fuck those games came out. Oh, they're GameCube. I mean, they're Game Boy. Oh my god, that was not 1984. That was like 20 years ago. Oh my god, I'm old.
Yeah, and they're good. Anyway.
You just said that they're bad. Like, you literally
Did not say that. I said Dr. Mario.
Is the same game I'm talking about that's coming to NSO right now.
Correct. I'm talking about Mario Golf and Mario Tennis. Those games are good.
But you said Dr. Mario bad, and that's included.
That's correct. I did say that. I said it was the worst version of the NES game.
Which is also okay. Bad. Oh, okay.
Which is just okay. The NES Dr. Mario is okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it should have been playing Spyro and Crash Bandicoot.
Those are different systems. Anyways, we're getting off topic here. I'm happy for Crash and Spyro fans. I hope they get the games that they want. And I hope Toys for Bob can make those games for those fans. And if they have something else cooking that they just could not do while under Activision's leadership, then I hope they get to do them too, and that fans like those as well. Yeah,
they gotta cook it in the pot.
Yep. So I'm gonna be positive for the fans. Hopefully it all works out.
Well, you can't be positive like for them. Like, I'm gonna be positive for the fans because I don't play these games. So good luck, guys.
Well, we've gone down this path and we can't go back. So
I see. Wow.
I was trying to be happy for them by them, but now I'm just gonna have to be like, yeah, I hope you guys get what you want. It don't affect me,
wow.
I guess.
Oh my god!
I'm gonna just play whatever new 3D Mario game comes out on the Switch successor. I guess I'm not allowed anymore. It's too late for me, Jarrell. Y'all have erected a gate in front of the Spyro and Crash series, and I can never pass it. So I'm going to just keep playing Mario, I guess.
I mean, that's also fine. Like, because no one's playing Crash and Spyro now, so it's fine. You're like,
they can! They can, I can only imagine that it must have been sad for them realizing that, oh, Crash 4 is really good. Oh, Spyro is really good. Oh, we're never going to get a new one. And now I guess there's hope. So there's that.
I don't think they're making any more Crash and Spyro games. It sounded like they're making something new.
That's probably it. And I hope fans like that.
Wow. Okay. Well, I hope fans like that too. I'm sorry, Christy or Gabe, did you guys want to chime in for Toys for Bob or no?
Nah.
Okay.
Just if they get bought out by Microsoft again, I'm just
going to have a Microsoft answer. Can you imagine?
Microsoft, I'm sure exactly
what's going to happen. Microsoft is like, you know what? Oh, we'll do this partnership because we don't believe in you guys. Give it maybe 3 or 4 years, and we'll be buying you out.
That would suck.
Guys, if that actually happens, that I hope so 5 years after that happens again, they make a documentary about that. And they just let Microsoft be like, just like the dramatization is just Microsoft of board members in like a dark room, just like,
oh yeah,
they thought they could escape.
They got us again. Don't do that. Actually, don't make a documentary, because I feel like somehow they would not come out looking good, because how the fuck y'all got out and then got back in?
That's what I'm saying.
That's why
I want to see the documentary.
Microsoft is really bad. It's like, y'all literally fought to get out of this. What the fuck happened?
Sometimes I find it funny watching documentaries on historical video game events, because sometimes they be portraying some of these character video game real life people as like real villains, depending on what they were talking about. Like, Nintendo got like, you might as well have put horns on their head during the whole shit where they went to Sony. Where Sony was like, yeah, we don't want to do the Nintendo PlayStation. We're going to go with Philips instead. Like, boy, they made Nintendo look like villains in that documentary. I thought it was hilarious.
Wow. I mean, somebody's got to look like the bad guy. PlayStation likes to do it to Xbox, but Xbox makes it really easy to be done to them.
Xbox does it to themselves.
And now they do it to themselves, yeah.
Xbox does it to themselves.
But, PlayStation isn't all great, because Recently, Sony Interactive Entertainment announced that there was going to be a reduction in their global workforce, which included them, Supermassive, Insomniac, and Naughty Dog all having layoffs. Yeah, not good.
What's crazy about this latest wave of layoffs is they tweeted about this themselves. Sony.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, like, and which baffled a lot of people, but I think the idea was that they think by owning up to it and controlling the narrative, it'll make it look not as bad, which, it actually has the opposite effect, Mr. PlayStation. But
yeah, also what happened was 670 employees were laid off from EA that canceled Respawn's first-person Mandalorian game, too. So... You good?
That one hurt.
Oh,
that
one hurt. Like, oh my god,
that one hurt. Oh, I love Respawn so much. They're like one of my they have consistently put out games that I actually enjoy.
Well, something that might hurt a little more, or maybe the same amount, is that Netflix has expected to raise their prices again this year. So one of their talking points. Hey. On saying that they're raising their prices was because people were sharing passwords. They stopped the sharing of passwords, yet they've already announced another price rise despite having done one in October of last year. So what do?
Hike them up.
I say we all cancel our subscriptions, but the human mind is so fucking feeble that you can't get more than two people to do it at once.
I'll cancel it every time.
Thank you. I love you for that.
Yeah, two people.
Every time this happens and we announce it, you know, especially on Twitter, everyone's like, oh, we're going to cancel our subscriptions 2 days later. Oh my gosh, have you guys seen this movie or show on Netflix? It's so fucking good. What happened, Bird Brain? You said we're going to cancel it. And I think that's a problem with a lot of things because, you know, Max is doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Disney's doing the same thing. Everyone's like, yeah, we're going to cancel it. And they don't cancel it. Grow a backbone.
I don't even have cable anymore. I used to have YouTube TV, and that was like $70. And then this, like, I was like, first of all, why the fuck is this $70? So then I just stopped using my own, and I never mind. the point is, like, no matter what the streaming service is, all of this is now more expensive than what cable used to be. And then when you look at something like Netflix. I wonder you guys' experience with Netflix, because mine, I'm watching very specific things at specific times. Like, I am not utilizing Netflix throughout the year, right? Like, if One Piece anime comes out, I love the live action, so I'm gonna go watch that. If, you know, my friends are all watching Love is Blind because it's a trash show and we like to talk shit, fine, I'm gonna go watch that. But those are, like, very periodic things that I'm watching at specific moments, right? Like, I'm not using Netflix throughout the entire year. And I wonder, like, this is a little bit of a tangent, but, like, are you guys using that have Netflix? Like, how often are you actually using Netflix? Like, I'm watching Pokemon on it right now. And I'm watching
Pokemon Concierge.
Yeah, I watched Pokemon Concierge. I'm watching Pokemon now. I stopped watching Avatar because I thought it was bad. But, like, outside of these little moments, like, these little pockets, I really don't think that Netflix is worth the price that they're charging, and the fact that they're continually raising the prices, like, you're going to outprice yourself at some point. Everything is expensive. People are not going to be able to afford this year round, so I have no idea what they're doing. But anyway, yeah, like, how are you guys using Netflix that are watching it?
Oh, very often, actually. I use Netflix is probably my most used streaming service, to be honest.
Do you have any other, like, cable or streaming service?
I also have Disney Plus. I have the Disney Plus bundle with Hulu, and I have Max as well. Those are the ones that I pay. Those are the ones that I pay. Well, Netflix I actually don't pay for. I use my
don't say
subscription.
It.
Disney.
Oh,
what?
I was gonna say, don't say what you're
using.
I live with my folks, so it's like in the same household.
Fine.
So
I was like, don't snitch on yourself, Brandon.
Like, I am not living abroad and being like, yeah, my parents give me a pass. No, I live in the same household as them, so there's no issue there. But I play for Disney Plus and Max. Those are me.
And how much
For me, I don't have Netflix, but, like, it's like you said, there's nothing there that, like, put it this way. I don't even want to get Netflix for the new Avatar show.
It's not worth it.
I'm a huge Avatar fan. That's what I've heard. But, like, I'm a huge Avatar fan. And, like, the other thing that's bothering me is, like, they're raising their prices,
but they're canceling so many good shows.
Yeah, that's the other problem.
What are you using that money for then? Because you're not keeping shows. You're not giving, you know, shows more seasons. You're just releasing old shit again. Like, they get excited when they're like, oh, we're putting Shrek back on. All right, motherfucker, you put Shrek back on and off for the last 10 years. Leave it on. So, like, yeah, I don't.
Today, I found out that my TV has Tubi pre-installed, and I opened that app, and when I tell you, I watched a bunch of shit that I watched on YouTube cable for free on Tubi today, and I had to sit through some commercials, and I was like, I sat through commercials on YouTube TV. I don't give a fuck. I'm gonna do this shit. And so I'm ready to cancel my Netflix because it's too much money. It's like $25. First of all, I think I'm paying like $25 a month already. Like, and I don't even know if that's right. And then their tiers are like, oh, well, if you don't want this, then you're gonna have really shitty 200p subscription.
Yeah, why am I paying for a subscription right now?
And you're not giving me 1080p. Like, that should be the bare
everything should be right in 4K.
It should be.
Yeah, but okay, I don't know about that one. I think let's be fair.
For the amount that I'm paying, everything should be in 4K.
But no, but that's what I'm saying. Like, in terms of tier, like, every tier should be the lowest. The lowest resolution is 1080p.
They shouldn't even have tiers. Why do you have tiers on a streaming service?
Also, yes, you shouldn't have tiers. But like, there's absolutely no way you're locking 1080p over like the second or third highest tier. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, give me a break.
Yeah.
Your shit looks like it's 1080p all the time anyway, so.
Brendan, are you using your Netflix to watch, like, TV shows?
Primarily anime. Mm. Like, I'm watching a lot of animated shows. Like, Pokemon was brought up. I haven't finished it, but I was watching Scott Pilgrim Takes Off. Delicious in Dungeon is, like, kind of like the main thing I'm watching. Yeah, mainly for the anime that Netflix has on there, but a few other shows as well.
Okay. So it's kind of like your cable service, where you sit more down and watch TV shows. Okay, see, okay, yeah. Okay. I'm just playing games all the time. I can't watch TV.
No way! You just complain about playing games all the time.
And with that, I think we're all ready to wrap up. So thank you, Brendan. Thank you, Christy, and thank you, Gabe. It's been a wonderful time seeing the podcast crew all together again. And we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.